You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And welcome to the front line. This is David Francoeur. I'm delighted to be here today to kind of help lead this program. And I have a co-host. Ed didn't get much sleep last night, so I said, "Sleep in, bro."
Yeah.
You know, and he'll be in next week, God willing. But Ann Lomhoko is here with us, and Ann, good to see
what
you.
What a pleasure to be here. Every day the Lord wakes us up is a blessing. I say that almost every show, but I'm grateful for every day that I have. So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
And it's important, you know, we express gratitude to the Lord. Everything comes from the Lord. Everything we have.
Mm-hmm.
And especially we notice when we need the Lord because we're in trouble, He's there.
We definitely depend
on Him for that. So before we introduce our guest for today, I want a little announcement here. We had a guest a few weeks ago, Paul Garner, who is an author and publisher as well, which kind of works well for him. But we had discussed the book that he wrote, Spirit of Liberty. The subtitle is Liberty is God's Plan, Liberty is Love. Tremendous book.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a great insight into the founding of America, God's plan for this nation,
highly recommended.
Paul is the author. He's going to have a book signing on August the 9th. This is coming Saturday at Barnes & Noble in Jensen Beach, right off of US 1 there, across from the mall. And that's 1 to 3:30 p.m. And I strongly recommend that you consider going there, getting one of his books, having him sign it.
And having a conversation.
And having a conversation.
Yeah,
he's going to be available. He's a really good brother. And I really enjoyed being with him here and sharing. I'd like to try to get together with him, you know, just him and me down the road over coffee
absolutely.
Or something. But it's be well worth the visit. And the book itself is a tremendous piece.
And if they cannot go to Barnes & Noble's, you can actually get the book on Amazon.com.
That's right.
So I just wanted to make that plug as
Yes, that's a good idea. Anyway, it's a great book. Well, this morning we have a gentleman with us. We haven't had him in a while. It's not because of, it's just because of a lot of things. His schedule, our schedule, everything else tumbling in here. But I'm delighted to welcome Jonathan Dobbs, Walking with Warriors minister, really a missionary. And Jonathan, good to see you, brother.
It's good to see you. Thank you, David, for letting me come in and for being here. Grateful as well for a new day. Thankful.
And this is, you know, I'd mentioned to you before we went on the air that God keep putting you on my heart and reaching out to you to set up a date. And for one reason or other, I got diverted. So the guest we were supposed to have today couldn't be here. Thank God I found out yesterday. So I'm saying, well, who are we going to talk? Who are we going to reach out to? And the Lord said, hey, Dave, I've been telling you about Jonathan. You know, call him. And it all worked out that you could be here today. So thank you for coming. Jonathan has a great story. It's a powerful testimony. He's going to share that. And how God led him into the ministry with Walking with Warriors. Absolutely. In fact, we're going to talk about how people can go on the web, on the internet and find the website that talks about this ministry. It's a powerful, needful ministry for first responders in military and police, fire, and rescue, fire rescue. So, but I'm not going to tell your story. I'm going to let you do it. Jonathan, I mean, tell us how you met the Lord way back in the day.
So I was blessed to grow up in a Christian household. My parents loved the Lord, and they had us going to church every weekend and during the week as opportunity opened up. And what I found as a young man in high school was that I knew a lot of the Bible, but I didn't know Jesus, not personally. And so it was just really important to me because I had a lot of sin in my life and a lot of brokenness. And One day I got invited to this like concert event, and at the time it didn't resonate with what it was. Mm-hmm. But the simple gospel message came up again for like the 100th time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as a young man, I realized I didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus. I really did not surrender my life. Mm-hmm. I'd never came to a place where I gave him everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Graham was the one who gave me that message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many years ago, it was his last crusade mm-hmm. in Charlotte. And
that was the concert you went to?
Is yeah, I thought it was a concert. I got tricked.
Oh, got it. He got okay. tricked into going to Billy Graham revival.
It was incredible. But yeah. it was really neat, though, because at the end of it, they pair you up with people when you're in high school.
Uh-huh.
I get into a hotel room, and this guy who was part of the Bible club at our school
uh-huh.
asked me if that was a real thing for me. And I said, well, I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I mean, from my side, yes, but mm-hmm. I've done this like 100 times. You know? And what had happened was he started to share with me the book of Romans. He started going through the Romans Road with
yes.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it took, you know, in the bigger gathering or just talking to him about Jesus in a relationship, that was when my spiritual journey started. And I was given the gift of outreach, you know, being able to share mm-hmm. evangelistically the word.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's taken us literally all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But in that process, for every good man, you know, is normally a really good woman.
Absolutely.
And so
yes.
like, for me, it was with my wife. We started talking when I was in the military about hopes and dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Hopes and dreams are important in every
mm-hmm.
season. And you start talking to God about those things. And so, like, for us, we started talking about reaching the unreached,
mm-hmm.
reaching those who didn't have access. We didn't know what we were talking about at first because our kids were little and we had, you know, we'd never been on mission trip, really. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit planted that in both your hearts.
mm-hmm. yeah. And at that time, my career in the military was taking off. I was doing great. I was mm-hmm. in Oklahoma City and mm-hmm. was working for Air Combat Command. Thought it was going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And found out that God had put it in our heart to go overseas to India, to a country mm-hmm. we had never been to before.
Mm-hmm.
And it represented one of the most unreached, unengaged, lost places in the world, and we just wanted to go be of some help.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where kind of our journey started.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know God was going to bring us full circle back into the military like 20 years later.
Goodness. Yeah, well, only God knows that stuff, and it's probably wise he doesn't tell us until he's ready.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And so you went into the mission field in India, and we've talked to other people that have been in India. It is really still a place where the gospel needs to be heard. There's a lot of people
yes.
who are lost there.
Yeah, there's the 1040 window, and there's this window across the world where, mm-hmm. you know, it is very saturated with people far from God, but they're not just lost.
Mm.
They don't have access. They yeah. don't have a program like WCNO.
Mm.
Right.
They don't have Bibles. That was one of the hardest things to get my hands on in mm. India. I was talking mm. to a men's group this morning about that. We meet for prayer on Monday mornings for Walking with Warriors. And we were just talking about it. Getting Bibles in India was not the easiest thing in the world. And so, but thankfully, the Holy Spirit's working. He's working in lives.
Mm.
And that's why prayer is such an important thing. And
Amen.
That's one of the greatest ways to reach people is praying.
Amen. Know? That's often... I'm just going to say, in my walk with the Lord, prayer was not the most viable thing I did in the very beginning of my journey. I don't know why. I just didn't do that. I read the Word seriously
yes.
into it, and of course, in the Word, so many prompts for prayer. But somehow, it didn't
yeah.
become real to me until much later down the road. You know, I think after some spiritual struggles. You know, and friend
yes.
and cohorts would say, "Hey, what are you praying about this?" You know, I said, "Well, praying, well, maybe not." But you know, it's the most fundamental thing Christians do, really often before we do anything else.
Yeah,
I think prayer.
As I think about it, if I was to hold up a coin, you know, coin has heads and tails on mm-hmm. it. You know, it's kind of like the Christian life. There's following Jesus, and then there's fishing for men.
Mm-hmm.
Following yeah. and fishing. And so it's both of those things that help us live out our purpose.
Amen.
And so, you know, we know God in a relationship, but we make him known.
Which is what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's where God takes us, where the Spirit leads us whenever we're ready. I'm not sure. A lot of new believers may not be quite ready for their mission field, wherever it is. They're getting prepped and all that. And some really jump right out of their first the first time they receive Jesus, and they're good to go. But we definitely, when we realize we have been called to be missionaries, ambassadors for Christ, wherever that may be, you know, my mission field may be next door, maybe in my neighborhood, maybe in another town, or maybe across the world, maybe all of those things.
Well, I think, too, it starts with discipleship and mm-hmm. having someone mentor you in the Word of God and being part of a local church that's a good church, you know, that's teaching the Bible and involved in the local community. And when those things begin to happen in a person's life, and it normally starts in a small group, you know, that's how all the churches started, was in a small group Bible study setting, house churches, you know, in Asia. That's how most churches here in America started. And so a lot of that starts to caramelize in a person's life because they learn prayer from another Christian. They learn Bible memorization from another Christian. They learn how to read the Bible, learn how to study the Bible from another Christian. And then they learn how to go through hard things through other Christians. You know,
amen.
It's one of those things that's caught more than taught.
One thing I want to mention, because you said, you know, you and your wife are fishers of the unlost, right? You want to be fishermen of the unlost.
Yeah.
In Bible study yesterday, I go to Bible study at my church before service, and we were going over Matthew 4. And when Jesus was first calling his disciples, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of
men." Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's Jesus who makes us fishers of men.
That's right.
Submit to him, submit to his authority, and he will change our heart, and we will want to be going after the lost. Mm-hmm. It's like not something that, you know, every Christian should have a burden for the lost. Every Christian, you know what I mean?
And when we feel ill-equipped, the cool part is Paul says, in our weakness, we're made strong. So he clothes us with power, the Holy Spirit, you know.
Yeah.
But we just have to ask for it. And we also need other mentors to show us how to do it.
Absolutely.
What you just said goes to the heart of a question I was going to raise, which is, I know we have listeners that are brand new Christians. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are exactly. You know where you are, or you're listening in right now, and you're listening, and God put it on your heart to listen, and you're going to get some great teaching this morning from Jonathan. But, you know, what's often on the heart of new believers is, you know, how am I going to get to know what gifts I have and the mission field that I'm going to use them in?
Right.
How do you begin to know that?
I think for me, it started with training. I had to be trained and shown how to read God's word. I had to be trained to pray. I had to be trained to memorize. I had to be trained to step out my door and go share my faith with somebody in my life. Yeah. Maybe it's somebody in my oikos, my relationship network, or perhaps it's somebody I didn't know at all. They served me a meal, and I get a chance to pray for them and then just talk to them about Christ. So a lot of this is about intentionality. It's about taking the initiative. It's not a 40-hour work week, you know, but it's just seeing the opportunities and asking God to show them to you, because I miss opportunities sometimes. We all do. Yeah. But he can help us see them. That's the good stuff.
Whenever I go out for a meal, I'm like, Lord, what do you have for me to say to the... I was just at Giordano's in Orlando, and I felt like the Lord should ask me. I felt the Lord asked me to ask the waitress if she wanted prayer. So I just asked her, would you like prayer?
Yes.
So, you know, we ask the Lord because there's such a harvest out there that we need to really, really go after.
That's right.
So,
and my father-in-law today, we were talking, and he brought up a point that we've really learned about a long time ago, and that's elevating lostness. Being able to raise up, what is the lostness? Like this area, one of the most unchurched areas in the South. In the whole country, really.
Yeah, I've heard that statistic.
Yeah.
Yep.
2016, it was from, I believe, Melbourne to Miami. It was 96% unchurched.
Wow.
And so the difference between unchurched and unreached, unengaged is the guys over in Asia or the guys over in North Korea or in the Middle East, they don't have access even. They don't have access.
That's right, yeah.
And we have
access, but we just don't have people who haven't believed yet.
Yeah.
And that's a journey as well, learning that. And walking in that.
Just praying for the unsaved alone it would be a great endeavor for anybody who's a believer. That should be in our hearts and the first thing we do when we come to God in prayer in the morning or in the evening. Because they're right out there. They're our neighbors right across the street.
Yes.
You know, now, something you said, and I think want to just mention that when especially new believers think of being a missionary, and we're all missionaries. So if you're a new believer and you hadn't thought of that, start thinking, because it's absolutely true. And God will take care of you wherever he sends you. But our mission work, well, you know, you may be being prepped to go overseas, all right? And you'll have a heart for that when God opens that up. But even wherever you go, when you go to get something to eat or you go to the grocery store and you're going to have interaction with the cashier or just right out there, wherever, that's an opportunity, you know, to share Christ with somebody else. And God will give you the content of your sharing and give you the heart to share, but not to think, well, I'm only going to do this if I'm out of town or if I'm overseas or whatever, some tremendous missionary environment. No, your mission field is wherever you happen to have your feet on the ground.
Yeah, and Jonathan said, ask the Lord. Like, if you ask the Lord, he will put people on your heart. And you'll be walking down the street or whatever and be like, okay. The Lord's like, okay, talk to that person. Yeah. So we have to, it has to be an intentional effort is what you talked about, Jonathan. Yeah. Yeah. And whenever we leave our home, that's our mission field. Wherever we go, anywhere.
Amen.
And many times it's not until you go over this huge mountain of obedience that we start to feel really excited about what happened, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's hard sometimes, and that's where we have to tell God, I'm scared, but I'm going to do it anyway. Help me.
That's what you said? He's our strength and our weakness.
Every day, because Paul himself in his letters said, pray for me to have boldness to speak as I ought.
Yes.
To have words seasoned with salt so I can know how to answer each person.
Amen.
And it's really important because even Paul was scared sometimes.
Yeah.
Paul had to be told by the Lord Jesus, I got many in this city.
Yes.
He was scared.
You're right. You're right.
I think we have to realize that, you know, he's a human being. We often elevate biblical people to a level way above us.
Yeah.
You know, and think that they had it together. And no, they may have certainly gotten better at what they were doing.
Yeah.
Certainly more in Christ, more open to receiving the Spirit, but they weren't any less human than we are.
And that's where training kicks in.
Yeah.
When you get trained and shown a basic way how to disciple and how to make disciples with people, just being intentional, then it takes away a lot of the fear and it gives people the idea of what to do.
Yeah.
They know what to do.
Yeah.
There's one truth that as missionaries we need to understand. It's not just true of American culture, but it's... You know, it's where we are. So, and that is that obedience is not a cultural imperative in America. The word obedience does not fit into the vocabularies of many people.
Yeah.
And that's just been edited out over the decades, maybe the centuries since. Used to be a cultural imperative.
Hmm.
Well, I think when we come back to the words of Jesus, he says, if anyone would come after me, he says, they must deny themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in other parts of the Bible, he says, we must die to ourselves. And it's hard to die to yourself. I like all kinds of things that I want to do, but there's things that God tells me, no, you got to do this, you know? And so he is the one who's king.
Amen.
If I'm king, then I'm going to call the shots in my day.
Yes.
A vacation's for my good pleasure, or is it for the king? You see what I'm saying? So that's where every sphere of our life
I like how you put
is
that.
About King Jesus.
Yes.
And he might interrupt your day, and that's all good thing.
Exactly.
It isn't comfortable all the time.
Mm-hmm. No.
Believe me, I know.
But that's right.
Yeah.
But he wants us to step into that obedience because we get to, not because we have to.
Amen.
Yeah, what a privilege.
And when you do that, when you submit to the Lord in that way, it's a great blessing. You know, the devil likes to tell people that submission to God is slavery, literally.
Yeah.
When, in fact, submission to the devil is slavery, submission to God is the most freedom you'll ever have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the way I tell people, and this is going to sound a little different, but if you've ever seen a scary movie, one of those where someone's demonically filled, that's scary to me.
Yeah,
being saved, as I understand it, is the equal and opposite positive thing. We are possessed of God by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And literally our desires, our appetites, all what we like to do, what we used to like to do, it all changes. And Jesus and the Word of God becomes our pleasure.
Yes.
Amen.
And his mission becomes what we want to do. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to do it before. I didn't like reading the Bible before as a Christian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's a total change because he's caused us to be born again.
The Holy Spirit resides within us.
Amen. We're going to take a little break. Before we do, though, let you know that if you have a thought that maybe you want to call the station and ask Jonathan a question or make a comment, you can do that. The break will be about a minute and a half, and then we'll be back on the air. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And I'll remind you again when we come back. But let's go ahead and take that break. Know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And welcome back to the Front Line. We are on the Front Line, and Front Line is all about frontline ministry. And we have with us today Jonathan Dobbs, who is with Walking with Warriors. We're going to find out a little more about that. But I want to throw this back into the hands of Ann, because she raised a question during the break, and I think it'd be worth pursuing.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to get to know our guests more, and I believe that our listeners will want to know more of his story. But Jonathan, you mentioned that your family had a heart to really share the gospel. So the Lord took you guys to India, right? So tell me, what part of India and how long were you there?
So we were in northern India, and we were there for about 3 years.
Wow.
And we had to go to a language assignment city first, and then we transitioned to Rajasthan, India. It's a state in northern India near Pakistan.
So that's you're on the border.
Well, the state was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's kind of where we were, working with nationals and had to work in the language. It was unique.
So you were missionaries there with your family. So can you explain what exactly you did in India?
Yeah.
How were you missionaries?
Primarily, I was a church planter. We would go into areas where there was no known church, no known Bible studies, and we'd start from scratch. We had an entry strategy. We'd share the gospel. Mm-hmm. We had a short-term and long-term discipleship process, and then we'd form gatherings as a result of it through the locals. That's kind of what we'd do.
Yeah, so northern India, if I'm aware, is very Hindu, is that right?
Yeah, the whole
Jonathan?
Country, yeah.
Yeah, because Kerala is their one Christian state, so I know that Paul went to Kerala, is my understanding.
They have...
They have some Christians in parts of India.
Oh, yeah, they do. It's Christians, Sikhs, Jains, Buddhists, Hindu, Islam. I mean, you have the whole gambit. But
yeah.
Most of the Christianized areas are in the south.
Yeah.
Kerala and other places.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how, tell me, was it hard to share the gospel? My nephew just came back from there and shared how difficult it was to really evangelize the Indians.
Yeah, it is hard, mainly because they're very religious people.
Yeah.
And they worship a lot of different gods and goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I start to talk, let's say that you're an Indian woman, you know, who has a Hindu background, if I talk to you about Creator God, or if I talk to you about sin, or if I talk to you about repentance or biblical faith, those are very different things than what they would interpret those to mean in their culture. So there's a process to bringing people through. It's also the same with Islam. And so it's mainly getting in the Word of God and starting them in Genesis and working your way to the cross through the big stories. Because the Bible helps build a worldview so that people understand biblical sin, they understand biblical repentance, and they understand true surrender when they get to the cross and understand Jesus and what he did for their lives on the cross. So it's just really important. And so a lot of this, just like in America, you want to get into a conversation around the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And basically let them know, like, in our state, we are lost without the Lord, right?
Amen. Oh,
we
definitely.
Are lost without the Lord. We need a Savior.
We do.
Everybody.
Right. Well, everybody needs Jesus. I mean, yeah. The Bible tells us that. And it's getting the word out to them in a way that is, you know, and the other, I'm going to backtrack for a minute because something I was reminded of when you were sharing about evangelizing those particular individuals mm-hmm. is I can't say I'm a scholar when it comes to the all the deities that Indians worship and the different, there's many more religions
hundreds
anyway.
Hundreds and hundreds, oh, yeah.
But I do remember, and I'm going to ask for a correlation comment from you, but many decades ago, I was reading a book written by a Japanese Christian who was talking about the difficulties in evangelizing Asian cultures because so many of the pagan deities are female. Mm-hmm. And that the challenge was to talk about, like, for instance, God the Father, Jesus, who was a male, and to present these biblical truths to people whose entire enculturation has been dealing with female deities primarily, and that created an understanding barrier that obviously God can cross, but it was harder bringing the gospel to peoples that had that. I don't know, has that been your experience up in India as well?
Well, I think that what just came to mind when you were saying that, we somewhere in the neighborhood of 16 to 18 lessons, you get into the law of Moses. Mm. And that was what my national partner once called the atom bomb, because that particular day they would know, based on God's word, they were idolaters. They would also know that they were sinners. They would also know they had a fractured relationship with the Creator.
Amen.
And so that's the important thing people understand. The deities come and go because mankind will make a god out of anything.
Yeah. True.
But they need to understand their need for a Savior. And they also need to understand that Creator God, Yahweh, has a desire to know all people the way he did Abraham. Abraham was an idolater.
Yeah.
He was too different than an Indian or an American, right?
He was a pagan.
Yeah, he was a pagan, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had to come to a place of surrender himself. Mm-hmm. And it was through his faith that God credited him righteousness.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And so people in the Old and New Testament are saved in the same way. It's through faith.
Yeah.
Repentance. Amen. Always, that's the cutting edge. People always ask, well, before Jesus, how did people get saved? Well, the same God.
Yeah.
He gave them the same opportunities, you know, and the Holy Spirit was still moving and led them to an understanding.
Yes.
I'll just let people know you can call and speak with Jonathan. 772-221-1100 is the number to call. 772-221-1100. You know, about 16 different fundraisers where I have to repeat that number 10,000 times. I could do it in my sleep. Probably have. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, you were there for 3 years. So what happened after 3 years? Where did the Lord call you and your family?
So we transitioned home after three years. Home at that time was a different place than when we came back.
Oh, really? So you moved to a whole new state?
Well, we did.
Okay.
I basically, when I came back, I came back to a church. I was a missions pastor for a couple of years in Indiana.
Oh.
So,
which part of Indiana?
Indianapolis. So northern Indy.
I'm a Hoosier.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
I went to school at Indiana University, but originally from Chicago. Sorry, I had to just implant that because
it's a city called Noblesville.
I'm so familiar with Noblesville.
Yeah. So we were there. Small world. Had an incredible time there. We had a sweet church up there, and were able to really just equip and mobilize a lot of people through small groups, and also get some healing ourselves from, you know, the field.
Being out in the field, absolutely.
Yeah, and so in the process, we got invited to come back down here. Our pastor and our team leader knew each other. They were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was back to the mission field down here. We heard about South Florida being one of the most unchurched places in the Union. At that time, it was 96% unchurched. And we basically said, well, we'd like to go down there and be of some help and work with other families. And so we started doing outreach in different places, some of the universities down here.
Really?
Started doing work in neighborhoods, working, you know, with other families to reach families. So that's how we got to South Florida. I also, in that time, realized I checked a lot of the boxes for the military, and I came back in as a chaplain in the reserves.
Mm. Okay.
Didn't know that I was going to do that.
And, that's how the Lord works, right?
Amen, amen.
Yeah. And we ended up getting into a search and rescue squadron, or a wing, I should say, and for special forces. I didn't know that that was the case either. And you know, that eventually brought us back on active duty in the military because we lost a helicopter in Iraq, and we had a lot of people who died, and the families had to be loved on, and we had to help them. So I had to kind of pause civilian ministry for the better part of a year and do that. You know, there's funerals and there's memorials and there's also unit visitation and counseling and things like that to help people. And about the time I thought, you know, we're good. We're going to raise a little more support and go back to mission work in South Florida and Stuart. And I think at the time we were living in Jensen Beach. And the Lord showed us, no, we have an opportunity to go active duty and do this more full time, and started doing that. Mm. And we did that for the last 3 years of my career until the COVID mandates. And that ended my career. And we decided to come back home to Stuart, and we started doing work with Walking with Warriors.
Tell us a little bit about Walking with Warriors. Well, first of all, how did God lead you to become aware of them, and how did your involvement with them come about?
Sure. While we were in Tampa, I was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base, and we got to know a couple named Michael and Bryn Harris. And we were just kind of taken back and encouraged by how they were loving on warrior families. And what we mean is high-risk public servants, police, fire, rescue, sheriff's office, military, veteran community, and even the ROTC detachments throughout the area. They were just really good at loving on those types of people. And so me and Mike started talking on the phone periodically about the gospel and about reaching people, not always about their organization, you know what I mean?
And, it was like an organic friendship just started. Yeah,
and we had a kindred spirit. He has a great heart for ministry. And anyway, as we were ending our time, I got orders. I went up to Fort Bragg, and then I was getting ready to come out of the military. He and I were talking. He said, how about you guys do East Coast Walking with Warriors, and we'll work over here on West Coast, because they're in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yeah, I like that. So we'll just do like a gospel handshake. He's like, absolutely.
Sealed the deal, gospel handshake.
And so they have a great relationship with the police department over there in Tampa Bay, and the fire department, and the base out there with Special Operations Command, and you know, a lot, Central Command. You know, there's a lot of different special groups over there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Mike and Brent have been a light for Jesus all throughout that area, and their family are involved in it. And that's how we kind of got involved with it here. And so we just started doing this about 2.5 years ago.
Hmm. Well, we got some time before the next break. Could you give us an overview of Walking with Warriors? What is the length and breadth of that ministry?
Absolutely. We work with high-risk public servants, okay. In the military and in the police and the fire rescue, you end up working shift work, and it's long hours. It affects, you know, your circadian rhythm. It affects your marriage. It affects your family in different ways.
Yeah.
And that type of lifestyle can mold you. Not always a good thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so Walking with Warriors is about coming alongside high-risk public servants, encouraging them, strengthening them in their calling so that they can serve with strength and honor, okay? We want
them. That's wonderful.
To accomplish their mission, right? But what we've learned is that if you don't have at least four dimensions living out in your life, your physical fitness, your mental fitness, your social fitness, good people in your life, and then your spiritual fitness.
I like that.
If you don't have those, like legs on a chair, that's what anchors you. And when you talk to people, it doesn't matter what their background is in one of these vocations, they'll admit sometimes that they don't have a simple plan lived out in those areas. And the problem is, when you enter into trauma or some type of brokenness or pain, it can become harder to get through and to work through. It really helps you in your resiliency when you have a plan there. And so as you imagine, I have opportunities all the time while I'm talking about these categories to talk about the Word of God, talk about the Lord, and to talk
community,
about
church,
you know, the importance for peer-to-peer support. Small groups, Bible study, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, we're made in the image of God, and we're not going to know why we're here, our mm-hmm. purpose, unless mm-hmm. we're filled by the Spirit of God, because mm-hmm. He shows us.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But it all starts with surrender. And so for a lot of people, they're on a spiritual journey. They just have not mm-hmm. come to a place of really digging through that to know what it means. And so we get a chance, wherever they are in their journey, mm-hmm. to share the gospel with them, to pray for them, to encourage them. And it all starts real small. It really does. It might be, you know, giving somebody an attaboy for doing a good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or picking on them for having a certain sports team. Right?
Or it might be, you know. Florida doesn't really like sports like Chicago does. But anyway, go ahead.
I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the back of a fire engine or in a squad car.
Okay.
Or over at some event. And I get a chance to encourage a man or a woman in being a mama or being mm-hmm. a father.
Yeah.
Right? To their family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they just needed a word of encouragement for that
yeah.
day.
Or and
being
it does
able
wonders.
To pray for something going on in their life. Or to be able to say, hey, remember you told me that you used to do this in your life, you know, whether it was a physical fitness thing mm-hmm. or taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And they just have, they've been so focused on others, they haven't been taking care of themselves the way right. they should.
It happens yes. in those public service jobs where
it
you're
does.
Just pouring out.
That's right.
So how big, do you have a lot of people who work with you, and is it all volunteers?
Well, it depends on the day. Some days I'll have people go with me, and some days it's me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
And the whole East Coast.
But, well, not I work in the Treasure Coast
okay.
primarily.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But Martin County is where I'm focusing now.
Okay.
And we have relationships, you know, with most of the agencies. We get to do ride-alongs. I get to bring care packages. We get to go and bring them food sometimes. But a lot of this is just these little things, these little deposits that mm-hmm. add up, because what we're yeah. trying to do is build trust.
Yeah.
And also help them in helpful ways. You know what I mean? But, you know, we just got certified in marriage care. So my wife and I, we do
wow.
marriage coaching.
Mm.
We
wow.
also have a big family. And so we try to encourage people because, you know, we're doing it too. None of us do it perfect.
Yeah.
You know
sure.
what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Modeling it.
That's right. And then also just reminding people of faith. Hey, have you gotten away from faith? You really need a faith family.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to be involved in that church to where you actually are in a smaller group or a Bible study. Because that's how you
beautiful.
Make a big church small.
Yeah.
I've heard that somewhere.
That's
you know?
True.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, it all has to come down to a level you can deal with.
Absolutely.
And
yep.
people you can reach out. What, this, I don't want to diverge too much, but this question just came to me. You're ministering to people who are heavily invested in running to the problem instead of
yes.
running away from it. And that type of job over time creates some distress.
Yes.
You know, we use the acronym PTSD,
uh-huh.
and I'm just guessing there's a lot of first responders and military folk still functioning, still doing it full time, but are dealing with their past experiences that have produced
yes.
PTSD. They're dealing with that as well right now.
Yes.
How, to what degree is that going on in the warrior community, and how yeah. are you dealing with it?
It is. It's pervasive. It is very pervasive. I would just say to anybody listening, please pray for our first responders and our military and our veterans, because
yes.
there's so many people who are affected by this. But pray for their salvation, but also pray that they would be set free from
yeah.
these things.
Yes,
because they can be. There are good programs out there that help people. And I think that, you know, within high-risk public service for years, this is seen as a damaged goods type problem, like you have some type of mental illness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When really it's an occupational hazard. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Hmm.
And what I've come to learn is that it comes in a moment of trauma. We store that thought, because it all fuses together when you're going through some traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
That thought, that smell, that action, that noise, it fuses into your experiential memory. Not your historical memory. And that's why it causes a lot of that trouble over the years, because it's a file that's not stored correctly in the mind and heart.
Interesting.
And so as I learned from practitioners, doctors who are real smart on this stuff, that's where a lot of people, they struggle for years. And when they are able to walk through, you know, EMDR or any of these other good processes and not just
yes.
dope them up, which can be people give them drugs.
Yeah. Mm.
That is not the best way to help people.
Yeah.
You know, we want to help people. And we want to put them in the room with really good, well-trained people to see them set free. And so I'm in conversations right now with local agencies to try to help them get access to care and cutting-edge care. because Amen. It's very important. And that is a way to meet a need in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I'm working with people. A lot of these people are not necessarily people of faith. Right. And I'm not trying to fix them and make them like me, but in the process of helping them with trauma and with brokenness, I get an opportunity, and my family does too, to show the love of God and tell them why I do what I do. They ask all the time, and they do want to hear why.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, you know,
why are you here? Why are you caring for me? Why are you taking the time?
That's right. And it's amazing what respect, encouragement, being a friend, all those things can do to sharing Jesus with people, because they want to know, because they don't have hope sometimes. Sometimes their world's kind of creeping in, you know what I mean? And that's where all of us have an opportunity. We all have a mission field.
We might take a break now. We might return to that.
Okay.
Let's do that. And you can call, too. You may, in fact, either be someone that is dealing with that right now as a first responder or a military person, or you may know someone that does, and you might need a little more information. So the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. We're going to take a music break. So we're going to be, you're going to give you a chance to do some things you can't do with a shorter break. So it's about a 4-minute break.
Oh,
And welcome to the front line in the last 15 minutes of the program, thereabouts. Our guest today, Jonathan Dobbs, Walking with Warriors, and hopefully been following along from the beginning. Again, you can call if you have a question or a comment for Jonathan, 772-221-1100. And back to you, Jonathan. You had a message of hope you want to share today.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of brokenness in our world, and my personal belief is that we're close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Word of God tells us that we're going to see tribulations, but we have not yet seen the great tribulation,
right.
Thank God.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. But in all this, we get a chance in this last hour to be intentional with our days. And
yes.
As we have been out there, I just want to tell you, Lauren and I haven't stopped hoping and dreaming, my wife Lauren. We pray together every day. And as we pray, a couple of months ago in April, we began to pray and ask for God to give us kind of a fresh new ministry vision. And he brought us back to some of the same things we've talked about this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was just trying to get back into more longer-term overseas, not long-term, but just short-term trips overseas.
Okay.
And doing international work. And we didn't know how that would take.
Yeah.
Right? And so we were in a season where we're having to say no to some good things, and we're praying a lot. And so what God has been doing, I'll talk about it locally, and I'll talk about it internationally. So locally, in the last couple of months, God has really opened up opportunities to do Bible studies, to meet with these different first responders. And I meet them places like Chick-fil-A, coffee shops, and meet them, you know, out in the parking lot if I got to. But to help them with their physical fitness, their social fitness, and their spiritual fitness.
Amen.
You know, and to be a witness where they're at. And so that's happening every day when
Amen.
We get opportunities to connect with these guys and do follow-ups after I go on these ride-alongs and things like that. One in particular that I want to share, and then I'll tell you about the international piece. As we've been praying, I got a call yesterday.
Okay.
Yesterday on the telephone, and it was late. It was after you and I had talked, David.
Okay. Oh.
And this particular fellow, he's one of our supporters, mm-hmm. but he's a law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed encouragement.
Mm.
He needed prayer. He was concerned about a medical ailment. Okay?
Okay.
And so we're talking, we're praying. I gave him a word of encouragement. And I didn't know, you know, if I'd hear from him again for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he called me this morning early.
Wow. Mm.
And he said, Jonathan, we have got to talk. I was like, okay, I'm mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. And we start talking. He gets over to work, and he started sharing his faith with one of his colleagues. And here's how it went. The colleague says, you seem like you've been down. He said, well, I've had this medical thing, and I hadn't told anybody, but I'm going to tell you. And he told him what it was. And as he told him, he said, you know, I'm concerned it could really affect my health, but I'm more concerned for you. And I, you know, maybe God has put me in this situation so that I can share about Jesus with you.
Wow.
So that you might come to faith. Even if I were to get sick and die, you would at least know the Lord. And, you know, we could have one more person in the kingdom. Now, this is this guy's heart. It's incredible heart, right?
Wow.
Incredible heart. And I was like, so what happened?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And when he said that to this person, they began to go into tears.
Mm.
You don't do that in that community, just
Absolutely.
So you know.
Absolutely, yeah,
And as that started happening, they gave a profession of faith this morning.
Amen.
And so this guy's worried about a medical ailment. and the Lord began to work in those things. And that's what I find is in a lot of these broken situations,
mm-hmm.
as we encourage people in Jesus,
Amen.
They get a chance to turn around and bring encouragement to other people, even though they're going through hard things. Is that not what the church does?
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Yes.
That's a great
Amen.
Story.
And so we've been praying about stuff like this. I'm just starting to see little glimmers of fruit mm-hmm. like this locally.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, we're praying about things internationally. I didn't know, you know, what would happen. And so as we began to pray, God opened up an opportunity. Years ago, when I was a pastor at a church in Indianapolis, had a friend of mine who I took on a mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, first time he had been over to Asia. And he ended up loving it, and they ended up living there and doing the work there. Been there for a long time. Well, I get a call We started talking to them a couple of months ago, and I started asking, hey, how can we come alongside and just encourage you guys? Is there anything we could help you do? Mm. And they said, you know, we really could use some help with short-term training and equipping and encouraging some of the people here. Mm. And I was like, really? So, you know, Wednesday this week, we're heading overseas.
Cool.
We're going to go on a mission trip, and our family is going to be my daughter and my son and my wife and I. We're going to head out, and we're going to go and talk to the family about how we might get a chance to go in a short-term sense, but multiple trips a year to help work in this area of great darkness.
Wow.
How long will you be gone, Jonathan, this time around?
This time it'll only be a week.
Okay.
Just, and it's going to be quick for us because of the circadian
time
rhythm
change,
and the time change.
Yep. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But I think for anybody listening, you know, you might be a young woman who's interested in getting married, or a young guy wanting to get married and start your future. Or you might be midlife, or you might feel like you're retired and you're more senior, and you've got, you know, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing spiritually. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage you, begin praying. Begin hoping and dreaming the way that me and my wife, Lauren, have been.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing special about us in that regard. We were just asking the Lord to come into something that he had already put in our heart.
Amen.
And we got a chance to pray on it, to talk about it, get excited about it, and he's forming something that we don't know what it is fully yet.
Yeah.
But we're excited about it. And that's where all of this, whether it's Walking with Warriors or my neighbor who just came to faith at 80, okay, and took believer's baptism like a month ago, and I'm discipling him in a coffee shop.
Amen.
Or just pouring into my kids.
Yeah.
I got a grandson now.
Wow.
Or doing mission work, or going on a ride along with the fire department or the police. Mm-hmm. You know, all of this can be done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And so we're just letting the Lord encourage us, because he has a fun mission.
Yeah.
And it's going to look real different in your life, Ann.
Yeah.
And it's going to look different for you, David.
That's right.
And that's all right.
Yeah.
And he's going to use your talents different.
Yeah.
But we all get to come alongside. But I will say, disciples need to be trained, and we need to be intentional.
Yeah.
And the most expensive commodity that we have, do you know what the most valuable thing in your life is, David? It's your time.
My time, yes.
It's your time.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And we only got so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it in Psalm 90 this morning.
Yeah.
And so we got to number our days, and we've got to be about the work of ministry. We won't have ministry to do in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to be doing worship.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
24/7.
That's right.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome stuff. Yeah.
And I just want to give people hope. Anybody can do this, because God meant every Christian to have a ministry.
Yeah.
And it may not be full-time vocationally. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But every Christian should have a ministry no matter what we do.
Absolutely.
Or where we're at.
That's right.
So
God has a perfect plan for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it gets back to, you know, we talked in the very beginning of the program about prayer.
Uh-huh.
And it says we pray, we come to Christ, and then we have to pray, oh, what am I, who am I in you, Lord? What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
When you come to recognize everyone has spiritual gifts.
Yes.
They're all different. But what are mine, and how do you want me to use them? Because they're not for me. But they're going to be for other people. God's going to send me out like he sends you out. And it's because, frankly, in some, it's all about God. It's not about you. It's all about God and serving him, but it does involve you. And how are you going to be involved?
Yeah, it's less about, we use the word church, it's about the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's about kingdom expansion.
Yes.
And being a kingdom agent, which is called an ambassador.
Yes.
An ambassador represents a kingdom or a country.
That's right.
And we get a chance to do that one person at a time, one family at a time.
Amen.
And it all matters.
Yes.
It all matters to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
we got really not a whole long time. we're kind of at the end of our time. It's about 5 minutes, maybe a little bit less than that. So because of the limited amount of time, Jonathan, what's on your heart that you want to use to express these last few moments, the end of the program?
I think one of the verses that I've been encouraged with this week is out of Isaiah 41:10. And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And just before that, it says, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off."
Amen.
And so I just say that to anyone listening. God sees you, He sees me, mm-hmm. and he is for us. He's our God. And this is not on us. He's here to help us, and he's going to lift us up, and he's going to help us not fear. Whatever it is we're going through, mm-hmm. it's going to turn into a glory story if we will be willing to give it to him and invite him into it. Because, see, God wants to use the good and the bad to glorify him. It is about knowing him and then also making him known to the ends of the earth.
Absolutely.
It starts right here real small. Mm-hmm. It's like an acorn. You plant it down in there like a mustard seed, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes one of the biggest trees in the garden. And Jesus, he's working everywhere. That's what Colossians tells us. He's working everywhere. He's bearing fruit of the kingdom through the gospel message everywhere.
Amen.
Lord, where do you want me? I'm here. And as you begin to pray and get out of fear, right?
Yes.
And get into faith,
mm-hmm.
that heart of faith where God is your God, he's going to show you how to get involved in his work.
Amen.
And that's what I believe. So I just want to encourage anybody to
do that.
Why doesn't Jonathan offer a prayer?
Well,
what do you think?
Certainly so, but I want to make sure before you get to that.
Oh, yeah, the website and everything.
How can people get a hold of you? How can people donate to your ministry when God's put it on their heart to do so?
Okay. Well, I'll give you my email address. Anybody interested in learning how to get involved or to donate can do that. It's jandldobbs@proton.me. jandldobbs@proton.me. That's my email address. If you're interested in seeing, Walking with Warriors has is founded out of Tampa, and their website is Walking with Warriors Ministry. That shows you a lot of the type of work that we do. And we are out of East Coast, so we do our work over on the East Coast. They do theirs on the West. They founded it. We just get a chance to be a part of it, and it's a huge blessing. So that's kind of what's going on with Walking
Your
with
website,
Warriors.
I mean, your email is jandandl?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
Not the ampersand.
Yeah.
J-A-N-L.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we have about a minute and a half. Jonathan, if you'd like to pray, please do.
I'll do it. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. What a blessing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I just pray that you'd be with every listener. I just pray that you would just be high and lifted up in their lives. I pray that you'd encourage their hearts. I pray that you would use them greatly today, this week, and this year for your glory and for their good. And so, Lord, whatever burdens that we might have, I just pray we give them to Jesus. And I pray that you, Lord, would shine your light through each life in such a way that many people would come to know Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And now I have to be careful as a producer here. Our software is very sensitive. If I end early, it's going to start the next hour early. I don't know why that is. But so anyway, we have to keep talking for another 15 seconds.
Let me at least say thank you guys for letting me come on, and thank you to all those who are listening for just letting us come on and tell you about what we're doing with the Warrior community here in in the Treasure Coast. And please pray for your first responders, your military, but pray for everybody. Pray, have a spirit of prayer in and out of season for the schools, for the nation, the government, our military members who are deployed and everywhere. But pray for families.
Yes.
Pray for the head of household and for the kids to all come to know the Lord.
Amen.
We're in a special season in our nation, I tell you.
Yes.
We are in a special season, and we also need to remember the reason why we pray for first responders is because one of the reasons is that the devil has such a strong hatred of people that do right and put themselves before anybody else and are out there running again to the problem instead of away. The devil hates those people, and that's why we have to pray so hard for the first responder community.
That's right.
And our time is up. Jonathan, thanks for being here, brother. I really appreciate it. We'll have you back.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. All right.
Appreciate it.
And Ann, always thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you,
God
guys.
God bless everybody.
Yes.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.
Most of you know that WCNO Radio is a listener-supported ministry. But do you know that much of our programming is made possible by corporate underwriting? Christian businessmen and women